Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Elizabeth Warren doesn't have anything to do. She seems bored. She can't go around telling people she's Native American anymore. I mean, she always lied about that. The senator from Massachusetts can't go around screaming about socialism and the evils of capitalism because she got beat up by the squad. She's not cool enough for those folk. She needs something to do, ladies and gentlemen. And she has found just the thing. She is here to rail on the iPhone and lament the poor, poor suffering of those with green bubbles.
Green text on iPhones, they're ruining relationships. That's right. Non-iPhone users everywhere are being excluded from group texts, from sports teams chats to birthday chats to vacation plan chats. They're getting cut out, missing out on plans and conversations. And who's to blame here? Apple. That's just one of the dirty tactics that Apple uses to keep a stranglehold on the smartphone market.
Perhaps I should have given a warning before sharing that. Perhaps I should have said, attention, everyone! This is not going to be all right.
All right, all right, all right.
No, this is going to be the opposite of all right, all right, all right. This is going to be...
Well, it's a sunny...
No, not a sunny day.
It's f***ing embarrassing!
That's what I was looking for. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Holy hell. People are being left out of chats, and it's because Apple is utilizing its monopoly power.
Apple has used its monopoly on smartphones to lock Americans into services and amass billions of dollars in profits. Apple even takes a cut every time you use Tap to Pay and has blocked a new app that would have let Android users finally use iMessage and get those blue texts. That's why last month the Department of Justice sued Apple for its broad-based exclusionary conduct. And that's the right thing to do. It's time to break up Apple's monopoly now.
You know, I hadn't dug in deeply. We talked about it when it happened, the Justice Department lawsuit. And now I'm totally against it. Because Elizabeth Warren...
Ew, David.
You meant ew, Elizabeth, but it's okay. She's for it. We should note, as X did with a community note, Apple has 57% of the market share, Android has 42%, and this is North America. That's not a monopoly. But what do you expect from Elizabeth Warren?
I hate Illinois Nazis.
She's from Massachusetts, and really, that's not the way we talk about people, is it? That's not the way we're supposed to talk about other human beings.
You're a phony!
Well, you mean her, and that much is true. That's free time, kids. That is a woman who has nothing better to do with her life. That is what we call a Karen.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Well, for some, she's a Karen. She is the dictionary definition of a Karen. I'm being left out of a chat, so therefore Apple has to change their whole business model. Let's make sure we're all on the same page about this. They left you out of the chat on purpose, Elizabeth Warren. They hate you. They don't want to go on vacation with you. They don't want to talk about the sports team with you. They don't want you at their party. They don't want you around. You are a buzzkill. You're just, what's the word? What is the, how do you describe Elizabeth Warren?
I hate old white men.
Close. There's no good way to describe her, is there?
You're a little bit racist.
Well, I think that's a bit of overkill right there.
Popular.
No, it's definitely not. That's definitely not. By the way, more show tunes per radio show than any other radio show in America. You're welcome, everybody. How do you describe somebody who has taken on this in today's world as their important subject? Why would anybody take her seriously? You're being left out of important chats? No, you're not. So I have an iPhone. I am going to right now send a text to one friend that I have. I'm going to send a text to Sarah, who does all my digital work. Sent her a text. Now I'm going to send a text to producer Carl, who's doing the show. Carl, do you have an iPhone or not?
Yes, I have an iPhone.
Okay, so you're an iPhone guy. Now I'm going to send a text to a guy I know who I know definitely does not have an iPhone. Definitely not. His is in green, and then Carl's is in blue, and then Sarah's is in green. Can I ask what the problem is? You mean I can't, like, somehow text Carl and Sarah together? Well, let me try. There's Carl, and there's Sarah, and I just type in, hey. I did it. Can someone explain to me what I don't understand here? Or what it is that Elizabeth Warren doesn't understand here? See? I got a high back. Look at that. Look at that. They're responding and everything. What am I missing? What is it that Elizabeth Warren, the senator from Massachusetts, is really upset about? What is it like to have to invent the problem? And what is the problem? Apple makes a profit. Elizabeth Warren hates the idea that a company is profitable.
It stinks.
She can't stand it. It's always an issue because it's not just a profit, it's obscene profits. It's somehow ill-gotten profits. Ill-gotten profits.
Oogie boogie.
Yeah, they're frightening. They are downright scary. And she feels that it is her job to go out there and stop that from happening. Can you imagine having such little utility in your life that this is what you have to do? You're a senator. You could actually engage in conversations that are bold and valuable and important. And instead, Apple is ruining relationships? Well, if you mean people staring at their smartphone instead of talking to their kids, maybe. On the campus of Columbia University, they are screaming their support of Hamas. On the southern border, young girls are being shepherded over that are raped on the daily. And kids across the country are dying of fentanyl poisoning. Now, I can paint a picture of 20 other things that are a disaster. My point only is, there are things far more important than this. And yet this is where a senator puts her time. The only proper response to Elizabeth Warren is that you are a pathetic old woman. I mean it to be insulting and shocking to the system because it has to stop. It may be for some an inconvenience at a particular moment. But Apple, which has changed the world for the better, has to somehow change itself to appease her because she's not on the chat of how little Johnny may have scored in his 12-year and under soccer game? She is a sad, miserable old woman. She is the definition of a Karen. She's the person at the end of the block who you don't let the kids play that far down. She's the kind of woman that when you get Halloween candy from her, you triple check it. You know what? You just throw it in the trash. You're not going to even try. She should be told that she's a fool. Because I think the problem is she's not told she's a fool. She's told she's important by the people of Massachusetts who clearly don't have a good idea of how to elect a senator. Ted Kennedy and Elizabeth Warren? Seriously, you could do better. You had Scott Brown for a hot second. He was an odd dude, but it was interesting. Nutty is what we're looking at. And Elizabeth Warren is as weak as they come. And remember, everything she does has a basis. And the basis is, why do you think you're entitled to a profit? Ask me. That's pretty dangerous stuff. I'm Tony Katz.
Just before 3 in the 5600 block of South University, Maddie says a confrontation happened and the suspect demanded her phone before flashing the gun. The pair got into a tussle.
I was grabbing for maybe my phone, maybe the gun. It's really like a blackout moment for me. And I realized that I was able to grab the magazine out of the gun.
The loaded magazine, now in police custody, Maddie says, and she hopes it will help solve the crime. Just minutes after that ordeal sent people in the area scrambling to safety, another armed robbery involving two suspects with handguns reported in the 1300 block of East 56th Street.
It doesn't tell the full story of Maddie. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. But it does comport with a post that I put out on X. You can find me at Tony Katz, TonyKatz. My statement, pretty clear, I believe, that any Jew not armed and trained is kidding themselves. This, of course, was in relationship to what's going on at Columbia University. What's going on at college campuses. Where people are chanting their support for Hamas. Not to stop the genocide, not to stop the violence. They support Hamas. But you knew this already. We've been discussing this from the beginning, honestly and clearly. And anybody who has had a thought knows that this, what we're seeing on college campuses, from these unbelievably ignorant folk, what else to call them? What else to say? They're cheering a terrorist organization that's coming for them next and will kill indiscriminately. Didn't you learn that from October 7th? They will gladly kill indiscriminately. They don't know who they killed. They just killed. You think they knew who was at that concert? Do you think they knew? Nah, they didn't. They didn't know. They didn't care to know. The killing was the thing. And it will get violent as it already is on college campuses. And anybody who isn't armed is out of their minds. But it should expand out from me talking about people who are Jewish. Anybody who isn't armed is kidding themselves. Kidding themselves. The violence will continue because the target, meaning you, me, and we, seems to them to be so easy. Certainly on a college campus, can't have a gun, you can't talk about violence, can't do this, can't do that. But they can engage in actual threats and cheer on terrorist organizations. And then how dare the university? Columbia called in the NYPD to remove the people and tear down the tent cities. And yes, as has been noted, the tents that they put together, and they've been there for a couple days, I think in many cases, in many spots at Columbia University in New York, they're still there, these terrorist-loving protesters. The tents are all the same. You understand these people are funded. They are being given the tools to be able to act out. And remember, they are not protesting violence. They support it. They support it. This goes back to the story about Maddie, and I don't know what college this happened on. When you watch the video is her walking down a sidewalk, and there's a grassy area, so closest to our vantage point. And then a man, Maddie is white, the man is black. I don't know why this isn't a hate crime and no one's screaming about race. That shocks me, but I guess that's just the way it is. And he comes and starts grabbing at her, sitting on the grass. So grass, sidewalk, street. They're now on the sidewalk where this man is grabbing her phone and clearly pulled a gun. Sitting on the grass is a man, college student, man, sitting there in his sweater and his shorts, and he's sitting, and he's got his he's got his knees up a little bit, and he's got his hands around his knee. This girl is getting, for lack of any other word, attacked, and he's got his hand on his knee. And then puts his hands underneath his legs, like underneath the knees. Now, if the guy's got a gun, maybe you've got a moment of trepidation. Hand on knee, hand under knee. The first time you see this guy go after this woman, you don't know anything else. But your plan is to do nothing? We really have raised, in far too many cases, maybe not in your case, some really awful guys who don't understand the job. But certainly we have raised a multiplicity of generations that don't understand that one must confront the evil in order for it to stop. Thus our argument over the past couple weeks that, in my view, the only answer is to respond with force. Well, what does force mean? Force can mean a whole bunch of things. But when you see a woman being attacked on a subway, on a sidewalk, university, every guy who can see that is supposed to run over there and make it stop. Now you say to me, yeah, but that guy might have a gun. Aha! We go back to the original statement. Anyone who isn't armed is just kidding themselves. You see how we do that? You see how we brought that all around? Guys, they call me a professional, I tell yous. Let's not pretend that we're in a good spot, but let's also not pretend that we have to stay in the bad spot. We are capable of solving the problem. And the problem is, there are people out there who think they can terrorize us and we're going to take it. They think they can block traffic and we're going to take it. And I think that the people who engage in the terrorizing of us need pushback, and the people who block the traffic need to understand what the inside of a hospital room looks like. And they're going to get run over because they're blocking traffic. Do you see the... Now, if they would just not do that, this would be better. And I hate to think anybody thinks I'm calling for outright violence. Notice, I'm not the one talking about starting something. I'm talking about being in a positive, trained, smart position to end something. Society will be better off, And so will you. Oh, and so will your daughters. This is Tony Katz Today. So Israel decides to tell the United States, sure, we won't do anything in Iran and we'll now take Rafah and eliminate Hamas. And then Israel conducted strikes in Iran. Iran is saying nothing happens. Iran's also saying if they do this, oh, we'll get back at them. But Israel did do it, and doesn't seem anybody's getting back at anybody. And one has to wonder what kind of 5D chess strategy is going on here. Tony Katz. Tony Katz Today, good to be with you. Major Mike Lyons joins us right now, retired United States Army West Point graduate, military analyst. You know, it was just yesterday on this show that I was discussing that the United States really, really didn't want Israel to respond, which I thought was nuts, and somehow worked out a deal. Israel won't respond, but they get to take Rafah. Now, politically, I don't know how they deal with their left flank on that. Taking Rafah, which is right there on the Sinai Peninsula and is the last stronghold of any members left of Hamas in Gaza. But now Israel goes about this strike. We need to get to what this means regarding Joe Biden's foreign policy. But talk to me about what you know about the strike and the targets that Israel hit.
So, Tony, what we know. We know that they did not go after a military or a nuclear facility that's there in that same town. They went after a military facility. There's the 8th Iranian Air Force that's there that keeps old F-14 Tomcats. It's got to be about 50 years old now at this point. And they decide to do this, I think, to send a message, to first tell the Iranians that we can get through your air defense platforms literally anytime we'd like, and we can actually hit something. You can throw 300 missiles at us, but you can't keep us from hitting what we like. And so Isfahan is this kind of intermediary step with regard to Iran's nuclear program on how they have to enrich uranium. And it's that facility where they convert yellow cake that comes out of uranium mines and then sent off to Natanz for a final enrichment. And so Israel attacks a military target there, very precise. Likely they used manned aircraft to do this. What I mean by that is got to Iraq and maybe fired some cruise missiles, but they wanted to be precise about this. They weren't firing ballistic missiles, which are fire and forget and could land anywhere. And this is all about establishing deterrence, reestablishing it, in fact. You can't do that with defense. Defensive posture is not deterrence. Israel's got to tell Iran that it's got this capability to go after them and they can strike them anytime they wish. And so I think that was the message that was sent, some limited damage. And now Iran gets a little bit of an off-ramp now because nothing was probably destroyed on their side, and they can claim they can kind of go both back into the shadows.
Now, this is a very important point to make. You are engaged in a conversation that the Biden administration seemed to be wholly opposed to, which is the idea of the response being necessary. But it was the Biden administration, Joe Biden supposedly on that conversation, at least this was the reporting, with Benjamin Netanyahu, take the win. You don't need to fire back. Take the win. And you had all of these people within the media apparatus saying that Israel shouldn't respond. Look at how well they took down all the missiles, all the weaponry that Iran sent them. It's a clear victory. They should be happy with the win. Why do they need to escalate? You're bringing up that the escalation, or if you will, the response is a better way to say it, had to happen. Explain the theory militarily.
Yeah, so deterrence is all about keeping the enemy from doing something that would cause an unthinkable attack back in the other direction, similar to nuclear weapons, mutual assured destruction. The deterrence there is if the Russians or Chinese decide to fire nuclear weapons at the United States could possibly fire those out of the sky and fire back at them, which keeps both sides' nuclear arsenals at bay, at least against each other. Well, the same thing here. Now, conventionally, bring it down to the tactical phase. Even though the Iranians try to throw 300 cruise missiles and ballistic missiles and drones at Israel, 99% gets shot out of the sky with the help of an American ally. That's the other thing that, you know, we have to think about this is that, you know, Israel attacked inside of Iran. You know, where's Russia? Where's China? Where's their military helping Iran? They're not there. They don't have any allies there. Plus, it's all Russian-based SA-300. Any kind of air defense platforms are all Russian and Chinese-based. So you need deterrence to be offensive. It can't be defensive. Just because you have a great defensive posture doesn't mean that the enemy won't keep trying. The next time the Iranians could throw 600 missiles at Israel, or they could throw 1,000. They could do more than that. But now Iran knows that if they do something, then Israel can specifically attack, get in there and do a precise precision raid. Now, next time it's not going to be Isfahan. It's going to be downtown Tehran. It's going to be the Republican Guard's headquarters. It's going to be a much, much more significant military target than was attacked the last night.
Talking to Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army military analyst. Over there at MSNBC, I want to play this for you because it was the first time I've heard someone say something in a while where I'm like, okay, I think they're actually making a point here. Although they were very deferential to look what Biden did and how right Biden was. This is Richard Haass being asked a question by Joe Scarborough. Listen to this.
Is this just the latest and final round of shadow boxing between Israel and Iran, trying to prove something to each other, to their constituencies, to regional friends and enemies, or do you expect more?
I think we're all in violent or even nonviolent agreement this morning. This was carefully calibrated. The Israelis felt compelled to respond to show that they could reach Iran if need be. They could hurt them if need be, but they didn't hurt them this time. The fact that the Iranians are downplaying it at home suggests to me they don't feel compelled to retaliate against the retaliation. I think this is showed the Bibi Netanyahu were often critical. I think in this case, he resisted what he was getting pressured to do from his right. He did less rather than more. I think the Biden administration should feel pretty good in terms of calming down the reactions. And I think, excuse me, this is also a realization on the Israelis. They've got their hands full. They've still got Gaza, and they have to make some big decisions about Rafah and occupation. They face, as the Admiral was talking about, a massive threat from Hezbollah still, and it got active a few days ago. It's possible the West Bank will get more militarized. They got problems there. So I think this is really an interesting case. You see it sometimes, you saw it during the Cold War, Joe, that adversaries figure out how to signal. There's nothing formal, there's nothing explicit, but I think what we saw here is some actually sophisticated signaling and messaging by Israel and Iran.
So let me take this and work it backwards. This response from Israel and the no response from Iran, is this sophisticated conversation between the two nations saying, okay, we both know what we can do, everybody settle down now?
I think so. I think it's also reinforced by diplomats on other sides. I think the Iranians rely on the Turks still, for example, on their side. And the United States is likely whispering the same to Israel at this point. They don't want this escalated any further.
If we take a look at what's on Israel's plate, are they not interested in further escalation or engaging a further escalation with Iran, maybe doing more because they still have to deal with the rest of Hamas? They still have to deal with Hezbollah. They're going to have issues in the West Bank.
We know that from Israel's perspective, it's time for war, as it said 6 months ago, and they're not going to stop in Gaza. They're going to take Rafah. The West Bank is another fight potentially to happen, and there's 150,000 troops on there. Northern flank. So that also always creates a problem. I think Israel is going to continue to watch Iran. If Iran still gets involved and has, they could see targets, Iranian targets inside of Syria, they're going to continue to go after them as well.
And then to a point that I thought was interesting, although I don't actually believe, but I could see how Biden and Biden supporters would want to twist this. Benjamin Netanyahu should be given a lot of credit because he didn't listen to the hard right flank and he kind of measured himself. Was this a Netanyahu measuring, or is this Netanyahu, Gallant, and Benny Gantz saying this is the best strategy for right now?
I think this is why it took them so long to get to this conclusion. They likely went through multiple scenarios on what the courses of action would be, not only after this step, but what the Iranians could possibly do next time. And I think by coming to this conclusion. Had they attacked an actual nuclear facility, had they attacked multiple nuclear facilities, they, number one, wouldn't take that out. It would have been clear escalation. They wouldn't stop the Iranian nuclear program. So I think this was a measured response because there was virtually no casualties from the attack that Iran made. They were able to kind of measure it out and really kind of, you know, playbook it out and see exactly what the response could be.
Talking to Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army, West Point graduate, military analyst. Let's move it over to something we're seeing politically. And what we're seeing politically is Speaker Mike Johnson now bringing legislation forward that would allow separate funding bills for Israel and Israel's defense, for Taiwan's defense, and for Ukraine, specifically the buying, that us selling them bullets, us being able to make the bullets, order the bullets, get them made, and then provide them over to Ukraine and hardware. The Ukraine conversation now has people speaking with a level of direness. Ukraine cannot last 2024 without more bullets only from us. Only the United States seems to be able to provide this to them. Talk to me about the Ukraine timeline if no funding bill gets passed by Congress.
That's true. They're likely run out of artillery ammunition. That's really the most important ammunition we saw. Unfortunately, with a fire at the Scranton artillery factory, they only make artillery rounds here in two different locations, and that the factory looks like it's offline for right now. But they likely have 8 or 9 months left, and that's it. And then after that, they would use reserves that are rounds that they don't know would go off, would work if Europe doesn't step up. And so you could argue that the funding bill is deterrence. It's going to potentially force Russia then back to the negotiation table. But Russia, if knows that Ukraine is not going to get that money from the United States, all they have to do is just kind of wait them out and grind them down, which is history has shown that they've been proven to do. So this is virtually their survival. If they can hold off for a few more months and get things going, get the manufacturing that they need going, then Ukraine can at least stay in the fight. But until then, we don't know.
Where is Russia in this, right? Of course, they have what seems to be an unlimited number of bodies they can throw at this. But in the early parts of this war, it was a discussion of they don't necessarily maybe have all the hardware they need, all the guns that they need, all this capability. And their plans, as with many Russian plans, fell to crap very, very quickly. Where are the Russians in their munitions and in their supplies?
Oh, they've taken tremendous casualties. Anywhere from 250,000 to 300,000 is the estimate from the men. But they the men in material, they still keep coming. Thousands of APCs, thousands of tanks, thousands of everything. But Russia doesn't get rid of military equipment; it just moves it behind the Ural Mountains. And as you see, just train tracks continue to go and continue to supply them. Now, they've just become cannon fodder on some level because of the technology, the Ukrainian Western technology that they have in use are all combat multipliers. The Bradley fighting vehicle, for example, the Bofors gun can take out any kind of Russian tank. Normally, that wouldn't be the case in a battlefield. That's not the weapon system that's designed to kill that tank. But Russia will just continue to manufacture. In fact, their manufacturing is up. There's reports. Our State Department said they've fundamentally reconstituted. Now, they still have money coming in from oil and things like that. So their war machine is getting funded still, maybe under the covers, maybe not where the population sees it. But they still have a lot of munitions and they still have a lot of material ready to deploy.
Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army. Find him on X, M-A-J, Mike Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, Major Mike Lyons on X. I appreciate you taking the time. There's more coming up. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today. I can only give the warning once. Your social media is about to be filled with imagery that you will not unsee. Tony Katz, 93, forgive me. My morning show is 93 WIBC. We're Tony Katz Today. I forget sometimes. Outside of the Trump criminal trial, a man set himself on fire. This is the second conversation we are having about somebody self-immolating. The first was a member of the U.S. military who set themselves on fire over the U.S. position on Israel and Gaza. A maddening thing to do and definitely wrong. Gaza's the terrorist organization. To be opposed to the U.S. being supportive of Israel is madness. Well, I don't have a reason yet. No reason is given as of yet for what this man did to himself. This person, I'm saying man, I might be wrong about that. But in front of a crowd of people, in a what seems to be a park, lit himself on fire. On their knees with their hands behind their head. Maybe you watch enough movies, you can actually be desensitized, but you shouldn't be. This is... Dear God. I state to you we've all gone mad. And, you know, I said that to producer Carl as we were getting ready during the break. I was seeing this happen. He said, well, not we. I get it. But how much of this are you supposed to watch before you ask yourself, dear Lord, what is happening? What has happened? And I don't have good answers. All I have, as I have discussed the desire and I believe the need, the necessity to push back, I can equally state the desire that one must have control of one's own self, one's own emotions, one's own soul. I am fond of saying the world is crazy, but we don't have to be. Lighting yourself on fire will not change things. Self-harm will not change things. Nothing becomes better. It's just a further descent into the madness. Good times, check on your kids. Check on your friends. I'm sure in the next few hours we'll get more data. Just horrific.